It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Good evening and welcome along to what will be the final Red Tinted Glass episode before the Christmas period, because we won't be able to get a reaction to Saturday's game against Dundee out to you before Christmas. But Callum, I'm so glad that we round off before the festivities with a win to discuss. It wasn't pretty, but 3 points all the same.
Thank goodness for Bojan Miovski, essentially. We could probably send the episode there, if we're honest. It was dull, but it ended with 3 points. So that's the main thing, ultimately. Could have seen that game ending 0-0, to be honest. So we'll take it. We'll take it. A couple of goals, 3 points, and the start of 12 to end the year, I hope.
Yeah, 12 to end the year would be absolutely ideal. And I guess for a game like that, given what had happened at the weekend and probably the pressure on both Barry and the players going into the game, it didn't really matter how the victory came about as long as it did come about. But I think a lot of us have been still left with questions over the level of performance and the persistence at five at the back, because obviously, despite many fans pleased to not do it, Barry continued and lined up with five at the back at home to Livingston.
Seemed unnecessary, didn't it? Not that we could have foresaw such a thing at all. I just don't understand in games like that. I mean, I feel like I'm just saying what everyone's already said, to be honest, on social media. In games like that, what is the point? There is no need. We're just limiting ourselves, and we eventually get the ball out wide to the wing backs. It's usually nothing on ahead of them, and it just slows everything down. It doesn't allow them to break up pace, really. And when we changed to a four and we actually had Duke and Morris outside, who'd have thought it? We looked a lot better.
Yeah, and we're actually giving Bojan a decent level of service, not that that's stopping him right now. There was obviously forced changes and some other changes to the starting lineup. Angus McDonald coming in for the suspended Slobodan Rubicic, Jamie McGrath dropping out for Dante Polvara, and Duke coming into the starting lineup in place of Esther Sokler. And I guess yesterday also managed to get us seeing the old Bojan and Duke partnership, because some of their link-up play was very reminiscent of what we came to see towards the back end of last season.
Certainly. And I also think it looked better once Duke was on that left-hand side. And it sort of felt like it gave him a little bit more freedom to do what he sort of does best. Maybe in the first half a little bit more. And he was almost being used as sort of a player to sort of hold up the ball. And for some reason, a lot of the time, it wasn't sticking. I suppose it doesn't help when you've got 6'3" odd Iwobelai or Nottingham running at your back, mind you. But it was good to see, certainly for the second goal, that connection and the photo that they posted, the social media team posted afterwards as well, just sort of threw you right back to last season. And hopefully towards the back end of this, towards the second half of this season, we can see a lot more of that link-up play, because they can be so good together. We've just not, unfortunately, seen a lot of that so far this season.
Yeah, and it's just a shame that it's likely to be interrupted in January. And no, I'm not speaking about Bojan leaving, despite his continuous goal-scoring form. I'm speaking, of course, with Duke having to go away for the African Cup of Nations. But, you know, you mentioned the second goal there. Of course, the disallowed goal in the first half as well, where the back heel from Duke takes out three defenders. Bojan goes round the keeper. Adamant, he's not offside, but he is quite clearly offside. But once again, a home game, we find ourselves going behind in and having to come back to earn the victory, just like we did over Hearts a few weeks ago. But this always felt like a sticky game. You know, Livingston coming in a really poor vein of form, not having scored for 2 months, And as Ewan from the Talk Livy podcast texted me when they did go 1-0 up, reminded me that the fact that their starting lineup had nobody that had scored a domestic league goal this season. Of course, they popped up and did it at Pittodrie.
But I mean, it's typical, isn't it? I'm actually getting a pie at this moment in time, so I couldn't even, they didn't even see it. And I genuinely thought about just never mind the pie and just leave it at that point. Very, very typical that we're the team that to decide to sort of give them a go. Look, I mean, they weren't up to much throughout, but they did cause problems with their two big men up front, most notably. However, I mean, poor goal to lose, wasn't it, Glenn?
Yeah, it's another poor goal in a catalogue of poor goals that we've been conceding this season. A ball across to the back post with nobody picking up, and I can't remember who the man is at the back post to drill the ball across the face of goal, and Curtis Guthrie's the only one that really gambles and puts out a leg and diverts it into the side netting. Angus McDonald kind of looks a bit lost, maybe not tight enough to Guthrie, but I'm not going to really put too much blame on him personally. Look, I thought it was like, here we go again, and kind of, is it going to be one of those nights? More so after, because I think that chance, though, that goal came after Graham Shinney, of course, hit the post and the ball runs along the face of the goal, where Shamal George doesn't cover himself in glory either. I think he expects that ball to sail miles wide. And then, of course, Scott Pittman also gets himself a yard of space, does well to turn Richard Jensen. And what should be a routine save for Keller Rose turns into a little bit of a spill, just to give us a bit of heart and mouth moment, thankfully. Nothing coming from it. But, you know, you say Livingston didn't offer much. They had, for those that are into their data analysis of the games, they had a higher XG than us for large parts of that game as well.
I suppose in hindsight, maybe not too surprising, but they were, they looked poor. They just looked poor. It was, to be honest, it was like another poor game between two poor sides, really. In that first half, I was getting so infuriated by some of our lot, particularly when they were, you know, I say trying to take the ball out from the back. And, you know, they've got 20, 25 yards of grass in front of them to drive into. And they're just jogging up the park with the ball. There just seemed to be no urgency and a lot of dilly-dallying around the back, and then eventually working it wide to one of the wing-backs before they had to come turn back because there was nothing on down the line. It wasn't a fantastic game, and I don't think anyone was expecting that going into it. But I suppose, to be cheery, it's like London buses. We'd not come back from behind to win a game in ages, and then two league games in a row.
Yeah, very, very, very fair point. And your point about kind of the urgency as well was quite evident in that first half, and also in the second half when trying to utilise both McGarry and Devlin, both kind of Jensen and Gartman opted for passes inside instead of using the width. And then, as you say, when the ball made it to the wing back, we had to recycle the ball back to the centre backs and start again. I'm not sure what our tactics were. And again, I've still got question marks over the midfield, although I'm not sure if he's tuning into the live tonight, but resident positive merchant Skokesker pointing out that once again, when we've sat with two holding midfielders, started two holding midfielders, I should say, we've gone on to win yet another game. I think that's five or six games he's now listed when we've started either Shinny Pulvara, Baron Pulvara, in that midfield. We've actually won the game, but consistency doesn't seem to be the key, especially for us in midfield just now.
No, it doesn't. But on Danny Pulvara, I certainly thought he was very good last night out with Bojan Miovski, I'd say arguably our best player. He was doing a lot of the recycling of the ball and trying to make things happen with a little bit of urgency as well, which I enjoyed. And again, just sort of adds further to his case of staking a claim as a regular starter in this team, which at this point, it's getting harder and harder to deny, you would think.
Yeah, and, you know, on that kind of left side of our defence, we'll come on to the goal in a minute, which obviously came down our right-hand side. What was your thoughts on Jimmy McGarry? Because, obviously, coming back from injury, not had a decent run of time in the team since the game, since his injury, Kaiser saying that he needs a run of games and I think he'll be all right. Whereas Bob Duff said, how bough is James McGarry? I certainly don't think it was his best night in an Aberdeen shirt. I thought there was quite a few in the back line that looked very nervous. Jimmy McGarry probably one of them as well. And I wonder how much the kind of pressure with the crowd, the tension that was there for periods at 1-1 was affecting a few players, because I thought, for me especially, Stephen Gartman, who normally looks quite composed, looked really nervous last night.
Yeah, he certainly did. On McGarry, well, I wasn't impressed last night. And, you know, it's been tough for him. He finally got in the door and then, you know, an injury not long after his start. And he's probably just getting up to pace now and in the time where the games are coming thick and fast. So it's not really ideal. Again, it's just sort of a lot of times when he received the ball, there was just nothing on ahead of him at all. So he had to turn back. Which I suppose isn't really his fault, but a few times he's drifting it inside, and I'm sort of thinking, Tadyn Coulson without the tricks.
Well, could well be, but again, he's also probably, I saw him described yesterday on Twitter as a player who probably actually is more of a winger than he is a wing back, because he likes the look of going forward. But I agree with what Bob Duff says as well, that James Penrice of Livingston, I was really impressed with him. Certainly in the second half, most of Livingston's good attacking threat came down that side and through James Penrice. And I know he picked up man of the match in the victory over Kilmarnock at the weekend as well. It certainly caught my eye yesterday, as did Scott Pittman as well for Livingston. I thought he was really good. And I remember certainly going back a while when we were interested in signing him. I think that was maybe under Derek McInnes. But we ended up signing a Livingston player in the summer. It was Nicky Devlin. Nicky Devlin, a player that really kind of been going under the radar when we're talking about players that have done well this season. Obviously, Dante's getting a lot of acclaim. Bojan, rightly so as well. But Nicky Devlin could arguably be up there in the discussion anyway for player of the year, maybe. What a ball that was in for the equaliser. And I mean, if the ball in was impressive, boy was the header from Bojan equally, if not more.
I mean, Mjolski had absolutely no right to score from there, really, with his head. However, it was an excellent ball from Nicky Devlin. One of the few times in that first half there was any sort of decent service. And even then, Bojan had a lot to do, just sort of from range. But an excellent header to put it away in. Boy, we need that, really. I imagine if that had gone in 1-0 at halftime, I think it would have been rather toxic. But it just sort of adds emphasis again on, if Bojan isn't going to score, then who will? But just thank goodness for him, because he is incredible. A lot of talk right now about, you know, who the top strikers are in the league. For me, he's number one.
Yeah, and while it's Davey Martindale coming out after the game and saying that he felt the difference between the two sides last night was the final third. Both sides had chances, except the fact that Bojan, with the being the best striker in the league, was more clinical than Livy's front line. And to be honest, I think that assessment from Martindale's pretty much nail on the head. You know, Livy had more than their fair share of chances, and had it not been from a poor finish from Bruce Anderson when he came on, because tell you, when he was running through on goal, I was adamant that was going to find the bottom corner, just the way things have been going for us. So for him to completely fluff his lines was more than welcome, because I'm sure he'd been a little shite bag running up to the red shed if he'd bagged there. So we did definitely kind of push our luck at times last night. And I think a lot of people saying, well, you know, certainly looking ahead to Saturday against Dundee at Dens Park, that we're going to have to be better, because Dundee probably will provide a stiffer test than Livingston did, with the greatest of respect to Livingston.
They will. I think Dundee, they've got a little bit more quality in their side, certainly going forward as well. But, I mean, you would have put your house on Bruce Anderson scoring there, just considering it was at Pittodrie as well. I'm sure you'd have absolutely loved it. I thought Keller, who saved it, I don't know if you're a better view from the red shed, but I thought Kelleher's got a touch to it. I think certainly a lot of Livingston players did too.
Well, it was funny, because I at the game, I didn't think he got a touch to it at all. But when you watch from the angle that you probably have, which is on the highlights, I can see why Bruce Anderson thought he got a touch. And how it looked probably for you or those in the south stand that he got a touch. But yeah, the game, I definitely didn't think there was any touch. Didn't hear kind of the ball hitting the glove or anything. I just thought he was just claiming just because it was because of how poor he had hit the ball.
That is possible. Maybe he's done a number on me and convinced me there. But I think we did afford Livingston that quite a few opportunities. And there was a lot of times where the defence looked really, really shaky. And towards the end, they defended quite well. However, I suppose to hold on to the win, but we will have to be better than that. Dundee are showing so far this season that they are no mugs. I thought at the start of the season they'd recruited very well, but I didn't think it would be going this well for them, if I'm honest. And Tony Docherty's doing a great job. So we do need to be a little bit more astute defensively, perhaps. And I do wonder, would Ruby come back in for you?
Not for me, personally, because I feel more confident with Angus McDonald in the team, just personally. And I don't like this whole chopping and changing of the defence. I just wondered as well with Barry Robson's comments around the Kilmarnock and Hearts game about Angus McDonald's fitness and why he didn't play one of the two games. Is that why we saw Ruby in the final? Because he was going to be suspended for the Wednesday, that Angus McDonald couldn't play both Sunday and Wednesday. And the more I think about it, the angrier I get, because I'm like, I would have just chucked Angus in for the Sunday anyway. And we've got Jack Milne there. We could have put Jack Milne in last night. But obviously, you can't think too much about this because it'll drive you to depression.
Or they could have done something really, really crazy and play Angus McDonald in the final and then replace McDonald with a winger or a midfielder, perhaps, and have gone four at the back.
That would be mad. And even madder was Barry Robson actually went to a back four mid-game as frustrations built during the game. And as you said, once we brought on Shaden Morris to go to that 4-3-3 and create a bit of width in the team, not only did it free up the likes of Duke and Shaden Morris, but seemed to almost throw us back to January, February last year when Barry Robson first came in and us actually, you know, getting the ball on the ground and passing it, not just hoofing it up over the midfield.
It's like a foreign concept, isn't it? But we did look a lot better. I certainly thought Duke benefited from being shifted out left as well. Morris as well, I thought, looked direct. I think it's still clear he's very raw. There's a few opportunities where perhaps he'd taken a little bit of an extra touch when you'd have liked to have played it on when we were on the counter-attack and maybe we'd have grabbed another goal or two. But he's a threat and he's just something different that for defences to think about. And I think when Penrice was on that yellow card on the left-hand side as well, I'd have liked Morris to maybe get another bit more chances to have a run at him and causing some problems. But encouraging, and it's something I hope to see him starting games, to be honest, sooner rather than later, mainly because that would suggest we've ditched the back five, unless he's going to play at wing back. But hopefully, as his fitness builds up, so obviously he was out for 10 weeks or so. As that fitness builds up, knowing our luck, he'll be up to sharpness by the winter break. But I would like to see him from the start more often. I just think it's a bit more directness, a bit more pace about the team. And an unknown quantity, I think. Maybe he doesn't always do a lot of time.
To be fair, it is an unknown quantity for probably the defenders, let alone us. As you say, we kind of don't know what he's going to do half the time. And I don't think he does either, because there was the chance at 2-1 to kind of kill the game when he was through. And for me, should have been playing in Bojan, went himself, and it was a pretty tame shot straight at Shamal George. But of course, for us to take the lead, it was some excellent build-up play from Duke, pulling the ball back for Bojan and Bojan doing Bojan things and putting the ball in the back of the net. But I saw Stuart Fisher make this point on Twitter earlier about how, compare the way Duke did for the winner last night to Sunday's game when he was driving past the defender. He went down, won the free kick last night, stayed on his feet, worked hard to get the ball in the box. And I think Stuart was kind of alluding to, was there maybe more of a tactic from Barry Robson to kind of instill the players to win the free kicks in those situations rather than do all you can to get the ball into the box?
Are you suggesting you had a tactic on Sunday?
No.
Well, I think that's a bit too much, giving a bit much credit there, going by how we went about things. But possibly, you know, a chance to slow things down on Sunday and get some of the big lads up. It's a shame we didn't get any of the free kicks on Sunday, I suppose. But I do prefer Duke when he's like that on Wednesday night. And he's just, you know, back to his sort of maverick self, I guess, where he's a real problem. And you know, he uses his body well because he's a fucking strong loon. And I just wish we could see more of that. And it's just so annoying that he's going to be away shortly when hopefully he's going to be getting back to his best. But it was good to see him getting involved in the build-up to that goal. It was a fantastic ball in, but an even better finish from Bojan Miovski. And right now, he can do very little wrong in my eyes. Much like Dante Povara, which I think I discovered last night. It was sort of like whenever he did something wrong, it was like Gordon Ramsay talking to the children. And then when Shinny does something wrong, I'm calling him a fucking donkey. But alas.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that kind of comparison there, because Graham Shinny was getting a lot of flack, I felt, yesterday. And for me, rightly as well, because there was a lot of times where I thought he was a yard off the pace, and I'm not just meaning in general his own personal play, but he wasn't kind of closing down some of the Livingston players at times. He was almost letting the ball bounce towards them and then going in for a challenge, or where's that ball gone? Oh, wait, it's there. Oh, shit, the ball's gone somewhere else. I actually said to the boys I was with last night, I'm struggling to understand what Shinny's role in this team right now is. Conor Barron, once again, not even featuring, and obviously that's going to build into the whole, isn't he signing a contract because he's still not getting minutes? But I couldn't help but feel last night, Conor Barron could be doing the job that Graham Shinny is currently trying to do in our midfield, but probably better.
Yeah, probably looking after the ball better. I think Shinny just seems to enjoy running into people. That's what I've noticed in these last few weeks. He just loves it. But even, I suppose, it looked like he was really tiring with about even half an hour, 20 minutes to go. And you would have thought, even then, bring on Conor Barron, a bit of energy, looks after the ball better. And to be honest, if he's leaving, if he's not leaving, if he's here until the end of the season and goes for free, I'd still rather him being in our midfield, because I think he improves it between
now and then. Yeah, at the end of the day, you've got to be playing your best quality players regardless if they're staying or going. You know, you're not going to stop playing Bojan so folk don't chuck in a bid for him in January. You're going to keep playing him. Scottish Crypto says, Shinny back to left back, or is that a crazy idea? If we went to a back four, would you be opposed to Graham Shinny going into left back? And you could have Jensen or Gartman McDonald Ruby in as your centre backs.
At left back, maybe. At wing back, no, because I think at wing back it would still require him to get up and down that left hand side a lot, and he's just basically doing all the same running he's doing now, which he seems to be struggling with twice a week, which is fair enough. I suppose the way he plays, he does just buzz about, so it would be difficult to do that twice a week. But I think at left back, possibly, because there's a winger ahead of him, he can get up and support, but he doesn't have to be bombing up and down that left hand side all day long. Wing back, no, I would say. But then if we do move into left back, then you've got him at left back with McGarry, McKenzie, Hayes all behind him. Just unnecessarily, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think one final point on last night as well. Another game where Bojan ends it with a brace. I think it's quite mental that he's yet to score a hat-trick for this side. And I'm sure he's wondering how he didn't last night. A stunning save from Shamal George. I don't even know if Shamal knows how he saved it to deny him. And I'm sure on another night, Bojan could have had at least three or four goals. But not to be. He'll just continue sitting on braces for the time being.
I mean, if he wants to grab one every game between now and the end of the season, then that is fine by me ultimately. But you've got to feel the way he's playing right now, that hat-trick is coming. There was a couple instances as well where he could have perhaps been played in, and then the chance where he played the ball across the box and Morris wasn't quite in enough, and it just sort of went straight across goal. You thought maybe if he was aware that Morris, you know, probably wasn't going to get there anyway, then he could have taken it on himself. But you've got a feeling that hat-trick is coming at some point. And if he wants to give us an early Christmas present on Saturday and an away win, then that would be the perfect timing for it.
Yeah, and interesting, Paul Donaldson saying he said in his interview he backed out of one of the attempts because he was worried about getting red carded if he'd gone in on the keeper. I can't quite remember what one that is that Paul's referring to, but it did seem that he certainly had plenty of opportunities. And quite telling, last night at 1-0 down, we were just 2 points off the bottom of the table. We ended up winning the game and now we're 7 points off third place, obviously a couple of games in hand helping that opportunity as well. And going into the game this weekend, we're 2 points behind Saturday's opposition in Dundee, with the opportunity, of course, in winning the game to go above them. A real big game, Callum, as I've said, and a real step up from, again, with the greatest respect to Livingston, to what we faced in midweek, and a real test, because this squad domestically, certainly in the league, I should say, have struggled away from home, apart from Motherwell away.
True. However, if they want to put in that sort of performance again, then that would absolutely be fine by me. But yeah. Dundee are no mugs. Certainly, maybe, perhaps this is going to be the end of yo-yo, of Dundee being a yo-yo club. And perhaps Tony Dock's going to, you know, sort of solidify their place in the Premiership. It certainly looks that way this season. They've been a bit of a mixed bag, I suppose. Some sort of poor results in there, but some very, very good ones. I mean, beating St Mirren 4-0 at home, and their latest result in the league, 1-0 away at Ross County, in the, like, whatever, the worst game in the world or whatever, according to Derek Adam. But it's a big one. I'm sure the crowd will be in good spirits. Probably a good attendance from Dundee, but the away end will be feeling very merry and festive. I would hope, let's hope that's the case come full time. It's a must win, really. Again, they all feel like kind of like that. I think as soon as a bad result comes, it's going to be sort of tide turning or getting even worse. And in terms of going above Dundee, I was looking at that after the game last night, and I was thinking, oh, what would a win for us on Saturday do? I was like, oh, put us up one position. But then with the two or three remaining games before the break, a decent chance to get right back in amongst that European positions, I suppose, and ideally starting with 3 points on Saturday.
But as I think it was Rob McLean said to Barry Robson on Red TV, it's kind of the start of a few head-to-head games in terms of being able to pick off teams above us in the league if results go our way. Of course, you say, oh, we only go up one position. Equally, we could be 5 points behind Dundee come 5 o'clock on Saturday, and that all of a sudden wipes out. And we've got to remember as well, one of the games in hand we've got are against Dundee as well. So a team we're going to see a lot of over the next month or so, I'm sure it'll end up being, if both of us progress in the Scottish Cup, that's who we'll end up facing. But I'm totally in agreement with Kaiser that the next four games must be 12 points from 12. And, you know, you mentioned about the away end being festive and merry. I'm sure the Derry are going to give Barry Robson a very warm welcome. And I'm sure it'll be an equally warm welcome or reception for Barry if things start going poorly from an Aberdeen point of view. And obviously, you could probably throw Jamie McGrath in there as well from, obviously, former Dundee United player that'll get a nice reception from the Derry at the weekend.
Oh, I can imagine. So I love the Derry. I think it's great. It's just so old-fashioned, and it gets a bit rowdy in there at times, and I quite enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to a bit of back and forth. But hopefully, Barry will not be on the receiving end of any abuse. I'm sure if it's going badly, he'll be getting it from both the Derry and the away end. Well, that's quite possible. But it adds a little bit of spice to this festive fixture, I think, as well, which I quite like. And, of course, us going against Tony Docherty as well. It'll be an interesting one. Two of sort of McInnes's pupils, I guess, if you could say that.
Yeah, and one that's doing reasonably well and one that's struggling at the moment. And I think, you know, Tony Docherty maybe with a point to prove and just show Aberdeen what he's capable of as well. I'm not for a second here suggesting that he's potentially new manager material before anyone twists what I'm trying to say. But I messaged a couple of the Dundee pages on Twitter. I messaged the guys at the Up With A Bonnet podcast, and I messaged Dens Park Choir as well. Two very big Dundee pages that are well followed. And the guys at the Up With The Bonnets podcast had said that Dundee have actually got a festive package for the game against ourselves and Celtic and St Johnstone, included in that triple header. So not only will it be a big away end, but they believe that the uptake for the home packages should be significant. So I'm sure a good atmosphere and a good crowd at Dens this weekend. Now, I asked both pages who they thought the threats would be from a Dundee point of view to us, and both said they possess the best left back in the league. Liverpool loanee Owen Beck has looked good in what we've seen, obviously sports scene highlights, but has been popping up with assists and goals in recent weeks as well. But look, we all know that the joys of falling in love with a lone player, and I'm sure Dundee fans will be enjoying him for as long as they can. And certainly in the comments on this show as well, when we've been speaking about that left back area, I know a few of you have been commenting about us maybe dropping Jurgen Klopp a phone call for getting Owen Beck, because I think he's good pals with Leighton Clarkson. But if we're getting good pals with Leighton Clarkson, I'm sure I want better than Reece Williams.
Yeah, I don't. To be honest, I don't want any more good friends with Leighton Clarkson at this stage. But no, Owen Beck's certainly been impressive. Both going forward and defensively, really, I suppose. But look, they've got players that can hurt us. They seem to be getting a tune out of Zach Rudd and Lyle Cameron, who's very big in their promotion season as well. Amadou Bakayoko, I'm sure, could provide a handful. And with how nervy and sort of shaky the likes of Gartenman and Jensen looked last night against a big ambling forward, I'm a bit concerned about how they might do up against him.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what Dundee do up top, because I know against Ross County, I think they started Zach Robinson and Bakayoko up front. I don't think Zach Rudden actually started the game. But Dens Park Choir highlighted Bakayoko, saying he's quite a handful up top, has the ability to ragdoll defenders and always seems to be in the right place, was the quote from them. And ragdolling defenders was kind of what Joe Newbley was trying to do at times last night, and with some success. You mentioned Lyle Cameron. Dens Park Choir mentioned Luke McCowan as a player in their team that's been quite creative for them this season. I think I highlighted him before the last game got postponed. Up With The Bonnets mentioned Lyle Cameron. They've got a good young midfield that are pacey and are creative. And if we go with that five at the back, which I think we're probably going to do, let's be honest, if we don't have that tracking back on either wing, they've got the pace on the wings to exploit the gaps in behind.
Oh, they certainly do. And we sort of saw when we came up against Kilmarnock, and they shaped up in a pretty similar fashion, I suppose, to us, except sort of with wingers as their wing backs or wide midfielders. It didn't match up very well, and they certainly came out on top, which is a concern for me. Because just off the only evidence we have really of going up against similar setups, it's not particularly ended great for us. And I think Kilmarnock certainly executed things better in terms of getting the ball wide and making things happen. And Dundee can certainly do that too. They are no mugs. In previous years when they've been in the Premiership, maybe they have been. However, they certainly seem there's something a bit different about them. And I suppose another concern for me would be the fact they've got Big Joe as well. And, you know, he's been amongst the goals lately, Joe Shaughnessy at the back. And I just don't know. Anytime there's a former player in there, it just worries me slightly. You know, like a late set piece, Joe Shaughnessy, it'd be typical, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's funny, both of them kind of pointed out the fact that they've been doing well this season, probably exceeded their own personal expectation, how Dundee have been performing. You mentioned the fact that they beat St Mirren at home when St Mirren were absolutely flying. Of course, they beat Hearts this season at home as well. There was a couple of games that they'll look at where they probably should have won. And the one that sticks out for me was St Johnstone when they were cruising. I think it was 3-1, finished 3-3. And there was another game as well this season, can't remember the opposition, where they were up by a couple of goals and then kind of switched off and ended up drawing that one as well. So they're certainly a team that knows where the back of the net is, But from an Aberdeen point of view, they're also a team that can concede goals and maybe switch off at times as well when Tony Doherty would probably be hoping they didn't.
And it's weird. You probably would associate that kind of thing with, I say Tony Doherty side as we've got any experience. Okay, then we kind of side where he was a big part of. You wouldn't associate that with them. So I'm sure it's something he'd be trying to sort of iron out. But yeah, it's clear there is sort of frailties there defensively. And hopefully we can expose that, providing Duke and Miovski with the service, getting the ball into Duke's feet, ideally in sort of isolation kind of situations. That's a basketball reference, oh fuck. Sort of one-on-one where he can make things happen, and getting decent deliveries in the box for Bojan Miovski. Saw what happened when there was, two of them maybe throughout the whole of last night, and he found the back of the net really on both occasions. So let's have more of that, please. And none of this nonsense of having two quality forward players and flobbing the ball over their heads for no reason.
In saying that, then, looking from an Aberdeen point of view going into the game, we've obviously mentioned about Ruby being back available for selection and whether we go four or five at the back. Do you expect it to be five at the back? And do you, well, you obviously asked myself about Ruby's inclusion. Do you think, or would you have Ruby back in?
If I was going to have him back in, I would potentially not have him in for McDonald and one of the other two, because they did not fill me with confidence the other night. And the thought of backing Yoko up against Gartenman or Jensen when they're looking particularly shaky would be a concern. I would hope, this is complete hope, that he'll look at that sort of half an hour or whatever where we didn't have five at the back for no reason. I think, oh, we actually played quite well there, and go with four at the back. However, I fully expect it to be five at the back, and probably Ruzic back in for McDonald.
I think, you know, everyone knows what's expecting. Do you expect Jimmy McGarry to continue in his left wing back role, or could we see the return of Mr. Hayes?
I think we'll see the return of Mr. Hayes as well. I don't know. I just feel like maybe McGarry will be fine. I suppose he didn't play the full 90. Maybe in building up fitness, they're looking to build it up, and he'll go from the start again. I think I'd probably prefer that, to be honest. But I don't know. Seeing Johnny Hayes is always a laugh, isn't it? And sometimes he's horrendous. Sometimes he's actually pretty good. So it could be a laugh. And, you know, the festive season, a bit of Johnny Hayes at that Christmas, it'll be a laugh.
And then I guess the biggest next selection would be in that middle of the park, because Jamie McGrath didn't start the game last night. And interesting to see if he comes into the team this weekend. And I wonder if he does, if it will be in place of Leighton Clarkson. Skokser is tuning in. He says, too stubborn to change. Fully expect to see Clarkson and McGrath together again as well. Just to go on that point that Skokser was making, I found his tweet from a few days ago. So there was Connor and Dante in the midfield at home to Frankfurt, which we won. Changed midfield against Hearts, won. Dante and Shinney in the middle against Motherwell, we won. Same midfield pairing against Rangers, we won. Barron and Shinney against Ross County, we won. And then last night we had Shinney and Dante, we won. So that's 2, 4, 6 games where we've had two holding midfielders in the middle of the park, and we've gone on to win. Could we see Jamie McGrath just come in for Leighton Clarkson then, and we keep Dante and Shinney in the middle of the park?
I'd be happy with McGrath coming in for Clarkson. Ideally, Barron for Shinney as well, if I'm being honest. However, I can't see that one happening. I just know that it's going to be Paul Vara that drops out for McGrath. I know it's going to be that.
Yeah. On Shinney, do you expect him... There could be a case for him not to start, given he's played the full 90 against both Rangers and Livingston last night. Can he manage yet another game? Because, of course, I know he didn't play against Frankfurt, but this is our fourth game in 10 days. So for some players, Dundee might be looking to hope there's a few tired legs kicking in towards the end of the game. Graham Shinney would certainly be a candidate for that. So there's no reason for me why Conor Barron couldn't start this game, and you brought on Graham Shinney if that's what Barry wanted to do. We've already seen Angus McDonald captain the side, so chuck him the armband and let him start. But it'll be Johnny Hayes that'll get it instead.
Yeah, probably, most likely. I would certainly like to see Conor Barron come in for Graham Shinney, and then you do have that option if we are in a decent position, you know, come, you know, 20 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go, you can bring on Graham Shinney, and then his experience and sort of tactical nous of always winning those fouls and breaking up play, I suppose, could then be beneficial. And Conor Barron would allow us, I think, better control in that midfield. So I'd certainly like to see that. However, am I expecting it? No, I'm not.
No. Dandy Don's picked a team. He's gone for a 4-3-3. Four at the back. Drop Gartman. He's not ours anyway. Devlin, Ruby, Jensen, McGarry is his back four, with Dante, Shinney, McGrath in the middle, and Duke, Miowski, and Morris up top as the front three. It's not a bad lineup. Certainly wouldn't be opposed. I'm sure there would be plenty on social media that would have something to say about that lineup. I guess the question would be, do you make the change up top? Because again, interesting, when I was speaking to the guys from Up With A Bonnet and Dens Park Choir, they said Tony Doherty has identified and created a spine to that Dundee team. They're maybe struggling in the top end to have consistent goal scorer, but they've got a spine in that team that he's being able to build around. I don't think Barry Robson's identified a clear spine to our team yet, mainly because he keeps chopping and changing that midfield. But he also chops and changes up top as well. Do you expect Duke and Miowski to continue up top, or do you think it'll be once again Duke from Sokler in a change up top?
I hope he continues with Duke. Just purely off that sort of, that time he sort of spent out wide, I would like it to be in that sort of 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, whatever way you want to look at it. And I'd like to see Shaden Morris in there too. I think we looked at our best last night when all three of those were on the park and we had some actual width. However, once again, we wouldn't be surprised if, you know, after Duke's looked better out wide, if then Esther Sokler comes in and we stick with that five and it's those two up there. Although, if we are going to go with that sort of 5-3-2, I maybe wouldn't be against Esther Sokler being the one that gets the nod. I think him and Miowski are starting to get on that sort of similar wavelength. And I don't know. Duke through the middle, I don't know. I much prefer him out left.
It doesn't work, Duke through the middle, because he just gets... I personally think he just gets bullied by the centre-backs. You look at the game last night, the lanky centre-backs that Livingston possessed. Joe Shaughnessy will probably fancy the battle against him this weekend if he's through the middle. Chuck him out wide. Give them something to think about in those wide areas. You know, even if you may, I know he prefers being on the left, chuck him on the right. Let's see what Owen Beck can do defensively, because we've certainly heard all about his quality going forward. Let's test him out defensively instead. I think if Duke's playing, I want to see him out on the wing, not nullified through the middle. But I'm sure Barry's got some weird and wonderful concept for us to all get behind come 3 o'clock on Saturday. But I'm sure you'll enjoy the day out nonetheless. Let's hope that it's 3 points that we're discussing. And as I said, there won't be a review of the Dundee game immediately after, unless one of Phil Mayer or Johnny Main fancy doing a full-time reaction to the game. But if either of you two do, just drop me a message and we'll maybe arrange something for full-time on Saturday and do that live. But if not, we'll be back probably after the St Mirren game on the 27th. Is it St Mirren?
No. It's Motherwell on the 27th.
Is it Motherwell?
What's up, wee man?
You're hungry, right? Rory's hungry. Better go and get him something to eat. Thank you very much for everybody tuning in to the show tonight. We hope you all have a very Merry Christmas when it comes. And let's hope Santa brings 6 points, 3 against Dundee and 3 against Motherwell. Thanks for keeping me right, Callum. Till next time, thanks for watching Red Tinted Glasses.
Sports Social Podcast Network.